Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Survivors, and welcome to another fine episode, at least of this podcast, Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. It's going to be one of these nights, I tell you. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And we will be covering Season 5, Episode 16 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled End of the Line. Thank God.
Yay.
And I know, Jason, you used that too, so sorry, but it's I've been using that one a long time too. So anyway, before we get started, we just want to mention you guys that you're going to get a very special episode this coming or in the next few days. We have all seen the season premiere of The Walking Dead. So we are, for our episode 99 of The Walking Dead Talk Through, we've done something we've never done in the 5 years of covering the shows. That is, we got to do a first impressions podcast. So we'll have that coming to you right after the season premiere of The Walking Dead airs on AMC. So, we just recorded that, and don't want to spoil it for you guys, but I'll just say, so much better than Fear.
That it
yeah.
is.
So, so it was a nice little palate cleanser for us to discuss that before discussing this show. It wasn't all bad, but I certainly had my frustrations with this episode we're going to discuss. So
yeah.
Before we get started with that, we've got some additional feedback for the penultimate episode, season 5, episode 15, titled Channel 5. So let's play Rick and Simon.
We can talk about
it. Done talking. Time to listen.
Well, Todd states, Kim Dickens was in Lost. What?
Also known as...
What?
And he says, laugh out loud, you guys definitely missed an opportunity for that sound effect there, which we didn't, because Brian was on top of it. But yeah, now I remember, he says.
Yeah. All right, so we've got some feedback from Aaron from the internet. I'll start it off. Daniel with a kitty backpack. Oh, the adorableness. And I believe she was referring to some of Todd's feedback there. Sign me up for that. Bonus points if it's a bright color. Smiley face. Then she says, and I got a kick out of this reaction, Brian taking accountability for his mistakes makes me sad, because hearing that on a Fear podcast, I'm like, why can't the writers do that?
Oh my goodness, it is true. That would be nice if we could just flog them.
I miss Good Fear, aka seasons 1 to 3. I am forever wondering what Dave's fourth season would have been like had Madison been around and they talked about the dam while picking up people like John, Al, June, and running back into Daniel. Sigh, I miss Fear. That version of Fear. I do too. I think all of us do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she says, if Charlie was the only thing wrong with this show right now, I'd consider ourselves lucky. Yeah, I said that last week. Oh, the hard truth. Well played, Brian. Ooh, new sound effect. Although the new, and she's referring to this sound effect, of course.
There's a conspiracy out there. You hear what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N-spiracy.
Although the showrunners still having their jobs at this point might be a conspiracy. Yeah, I said that. Wow, Brian is not pulling any punches today. And punchy emoji, punchy emoji. Yes, I was not holding any punches, and I will not be holding punches tonight. Kyle, why don't you take it from there?
All right. Well, she says, it's totally fair to pose through, as you know, the network has to know by now, fears aren't crazy about this season. Yes, it's technically still better than season 4B for sure, but it's still not fear as most loved it. Maybe they're giving them a shot to clean it up and try again next season, because they do get close on good elements at times. But if season 6 is just a repeat of this season, then yeah, they'll need new writers or to just merge the survivors with the Walking Dead group and call it a day for fear, because it is not the show it once was, being loved by the fans. I don't know how much this is AMC's wanting everything the same, because people still watch the main series. So they think that the only story to tell, as Aim for the Head points out each week, there's several ripped off plot lines from the main series, it seems, for this season. Or if this is just a Gimple effect, but what made Fear unique, in my opinion, was the family element, and that's gone, Clark-wise. But even now, there's no found family really beyond a few characters. And she said, and who knows how long they'll get to stay together. It feels like another run-of-the-mill zombie show, and it's just sad to see the mighty fall, as it were. Oh my gosh, Todd was so dumb. Yeah, I, it's even with this episode that we're going to be talking about, I'm not sure what their game plan is. So it's kind of hold me back to even be want to be into season 6.
Did you guys listen to Walking Dead cast?
Yes.
Yeah. The one thing I think Jason mentioned, I think it was him, is that it seems like the showrunners have like an idea in their head and don't quite like, so it sounds good on paper, but the execution's not there. And I think that's true. And, you know, I mentioned this several times during the season, that if you, and I talked about this on the our little first impressions podcast we just did, that the writing staff, even from last season, the writing staff, most of the writers were like novice, or I shouldn't say novice, but they're less experienced writers than you know, certainly the main show has. And I think a lot of it, you know, when you have a less experienced writer, they don't do plot as well as, you know, so, and I don't know if they're just not able to fix those things on this show, you know, when the script isn't quite, you know, there, maybe the scripts are taking too long or something. I don't know, but, you know, we're definitely seeing the weakness of plot. And I remember I was thinking about this week, how the first, I'd say, 5 episodes of season 4 were solid. You know, we really liked them a lot until we started seeing where the story was going, and then like conveniently not mentioning Madison and the, you know, the, timeline, you know, the later period and that. But the first 5 episodes were really solid. And that makes me think that, you know, if they've had time to work on things, maybe they do a solid job, but when they're rushed, or, you know, they run out of time, or they have to rely on the inexperienced staff writers and story editors, then it's not so good. So I don't know if it's that, but it's clear that something's not quite there on this show. And us just watching the season premiere of The Walking Dead, that was very clear that this show is just, it has its moments. It has its elements that are really good. I think the characters for the most part are good, but the plot is just not there. And you can see the budget's not quite there either. And there's just certain things that just don't look right on the show. And Aaron, I think you meant Tom, not Todd. So sorry, Todd from Ohio. Mark, why don't you take the next leg?
Yeah, she continues on saying, this is definitely one of those elements that makes you take points off because it's so clear what they were doing. Killing a character for drama as no one in their right mind would have stayed on the bridge like he did.
Yeah.
You have zoom on the camera. Use it. Also, how does that camera survive not only the fall it took, but also the water that had to be down there in order for them to get the footage off of it?
Yeah, I thought of that too, actually.
I think I brought that up last week.
Yeah.
She says, how do they retrieve the body with all their supplies essentially on the other side? Again, it's the little things that add up to be a major pain. This and the end were where they give up instead of trying to kill some walkers through the fence first before calling for help just annoyed me to no end. And why I'd say it's arguably the most frustrating episode of the season so far. Our scout enjoys making guess now, Mark.
Just taking the end of it, the only thing I can present for recording Morgan and Grace is the same reason you know that wedding will be recorded if both John and June survive. By the way, was it recorded?
I think so.
Yes, it was.
Probably was. I just don't recall.
Well, Al's going to be there, so it has to be recorded.
No, of course. If Al's there, there's a camera.
She would have had...
There was a tape given to John from June at the end of the show.
Okay. Because it shows them having a normal life as much as they can and how they're the good group who can do that for you. So in a way, I get putting it in. It makes as much sense as anything else. My what sauce was definitely how did Virginia get tapes out so fast? Wow. You can say that for all the tapes. A podcast can definitely be better than the episode of the week at times. Yes, I think so too. And, you know, that's one reason why I know that it's fun doing the episode, because when the episode gets released and I listen to it, sometimes I'll laugh so much I'll listen to it again. And that's kind of funny because it's like you're listening to yourself, Brian. And anyway. We have fun. Yeah. All right. The end of the line was season 5, episode 16 of Fear the Walking Dead, written by the showrunners Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, and directed by co-executive producer Michael E. Satrazimus. The description is as follows. Facing an unknown future, Morgan leads the group on a mission. Al puts the pieces together. John and June make a promise. And I don't think that needs the shock horror. I think that deserves a...
Aww.
All right, Mark, what would you give? End of the line.
It was a tough one. Actually, it was going to go down to a 6, but I had to rewatch a few times in order to give it a better one than that. So I gave it 7 out of 10 dead horses, which seems to be a staple in these shows lately.
It definitely does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
All right. I gave it a 6.8 out of 10. So that's the ball game then.
And I am going to give this after a lot of thought. And believe me, I really wanted to give this one a lower rating, but I got over some of it a little bit, so I ended up giving it a 7. contract negotiations, both in this episode and probably in the literal sense. Because I have to think that the whole reason why Morgan is not dead, you know, and they even brought on this plot is probably because when Lenny James signed up, and I tried to look this up today to see if I could find it, because I seem to remember him signing on for 2 years. I think he signed on for 2 seasons of this show and has a potential contract extension that hasn't been signed yet. So that's what I think. So he could end up dying in episode one of season six, or he could end up somehow being revived by Madison or Sherry, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if comes by and saves his sorry butt. But she better come soon. But I'm also going to give it to use an example from Steve's rating last week. 7 glad grandmas with gravy boats and Texas teas on tap, blind as a bat when it came to reality, standing in the spot where you are standing now. Yeah. Or 7 bottles of swill made extra swilly, just like this season.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah. More on the alliteration, though. Because it's anyway. All right. First rating from our listeners.
Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 8 out of 10. That was way easier than we thought it would be.
And Aaron from the internet gave it a meh.
Yeah, she did not specify a rating in her feedback. She just said meh. Glynis from Toronto gives it 8 out of 10. Keep them walkers moving. Rawhide.
And LT from NC gives it 7 out of 10. Sick of your faces.
And Deanna from Detroit gave it a 0 out of 10. Worst season finales ever. Angry face and 2 face palm emojis. Will the real fear of the Walking Dead stand up, please?
Okay, Eminem.
Yep. I'm sorry, Brian, but I did not need to watch this again, so I guess another time jump is coming. And then
no need to apologize, Tieta. My only thing was that what I didn't want to happen, especially when we watched it, is we did not have a chance to see Fear until late Sunday night. So we had no idea if Morgan died, or because if you remember, there was a similar kind of thing with Madison where we didn't actually see her die, right? But she was dead because they announced her dead on Talking Dead. So I was like, I even said to you, Mark, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to end up. So I'm reserving judgment until I see Fear, or sorry, Talking Dead, because they may say that Morgan's dead, and I'd be like, "What?"
Yeah.
If he was dead, because I would have been pissed if he was dead, because it's like, why did they even bother to bring him on the damn show if they're going to kill him off? You know, they kill off Madison, you know, which they didn't need to do, and then they bring on Morgan, they kill him off too, you know. But I, after watching Talking Dead, I firmly believe that their intention is to bring him back, provided that he gets enough zeros. You know,
yeah, that'll do.
I think that's what it's going to take. They're going to have to pay him the money. All right, so let's move on to our awesome sauce.
Well, Glynis from Toronto says, I love the cowboy theme music as a whole and the rounding up of the walkers for the planned attack on Virginia and the settlers. Just a pity that plan fell through.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Thanks to Luciana.
Mm-hmm.
It's all her fault. All
right. Well, Steve from Oklahoma City says, Daniel taking the starter. he was able to do that pretty quickly, I guess.
Well, he proved himself as a mechanic because he figured out the transmission was blown in at one car. So I guess that was foresight for that.
Yeah, true. Aaron from the internet has two. Alicia taking her weapon back. Yeah, I like that too. Although it makes me wonder what Ginny has in store for her. Dwight being proactive. Why isn't he the leader again?
And I'll just go ahead, Dieta with Detroit. She says, Dwight trying to salvage some of our group's dignity with a plan to not become one of Ginny's servants.
Yep.
Dwight.
Yeah, I thought that Dwight was definitely a highlight of this episode. All right, Mark, what do you have? And before you even say it, I agree with all four of your awesome sauces.
Thanks. Well, considering what Dieta just said, I'll continue on. I think it was awesome that Dwight stepped up and came back with the horses. But that was a little too late since they already called Virginia for help. More in my weak sauce about that. But I just thought it was awesome that, okay, they gave Dwight the, you know, the great points. I found it awesome that Morgan expressed his feelings to Grace.
Yep. Long time coming.
Yeah. The wedding was awesome. Finally, we get to the wedding of John and June. But it reminded me of Kill Bill Volume 2 for some odd reason. I think it had to do with the June in her wedding dress with the shotgun at the end. And the last bit would be the Western music. I have to agree, earlier with those comments about it. It was so awesome for the episode. I always enjoyed that with the gulch scenes, especially when we first got in the gulch with, June and John when they met Dwight originally. They had that music then, brought it back to the original feel of the show, and it added that Western feel throughout the whole episode, though.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah,
it did. I guess my only awesome sauce was kind of like, it was like June, like cocking the rifle after the wedding when, you know, Ginny and the gang showed up. It just was just fun to see. They're all basically like, okay, let's get ready for battle. And she just had that look on her face. She's like,
yeah, like Emily Blunt from A Quiet Place at the very end. Click, click.
Yeah. It was just fun to see. I like June, and it was just, it was a good little thing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, like I said, everything you said, Mark, I agreed with. And one additional thing that I think about Dwight, saying that he knows what it will mean if they follow Ginny because of his experience with Negan and the Saviors. And I have to say that I think that he is one of the highlights of season 5. I think the reintroduction of Dwight in this show has far beyond exceeded my expectations of him. I think he's been really good in the role. I think the role has been well written. I think that, you know, he is one of my awesome sauces for season 5. Not that we're going to give any. that's not my intention for this episode, but just in general, I thought that his character development was a strong point of the season. Maybe not the strongest point, but certainly he was strong in this episode, and he's been strong pretty much all the way through. And I think that I agree with Aaron, and she's been saying this quite a bit this season, that he probably should have been the first crossover character on this show instead of Morgan. I think that he probably would have been if Lenny James didn't agree to it. But I think his character works on this show. So my second is the walkers getting taken away in the rapids. I thought that was a great stunt, and that was a highlight. I thought that was something we've never seen on the show, either show. And I think it was well executed. So
no, I didn't say anything just because you had already said it, but it was like, yeah, the Walker Rapids.
Yeah. The slippity slide.
Yeah. Yep. It was cool. All right. So let's move on to a sauce that's going to get a lot of action this episode. the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, Aaron from the internet says, you just know they'll talk about this group breakup to no end next season, but the damn. What damn? I roll.
Steve from Oklahoma City, his weak sauce is Strand giving the starter to Jenny.
Dieta from Detroit. I'm surprised you only have one, Dieta, given the fact that he gave it a zero. The group following Morgan's plan to be split up and separated from each other to appease the new sheriff in town. Just weak, weak, weak. Yeah, I would not dispute that. All right, so let's start with you, Mark. What do you have for weak?
Well, I said it was weak that they called Jenny for help, and then Dwight, out of the blue, comes with horses and hope with a lot of hope and bringing logic to do something about their situation. Something I also mentioned last podcast, similarly when the proper show, or the original Walking Dead, they were able to empty out empty out the prison in I think it was season 3, and there were a small group, but there was a ton of walkers in that prison. So you would think, don't hesitate, don't just give up, and you know, but obviously it's like as soon as they had the horses and he mentions water nearby, they're starting this idea, and it's like, all right, too late. We already called Jenny.
Yeah, yeah. It just seemed like they would have been desperate enough to been like, okay, like let's try to do something, you know, than just give up. And it took Dwight to somehow spark the, oh, we can do this because Jenny lied to us, and we have horses and there's water, and we can make this our new home. It just seems like. Yeah, it was just weak because they just didn't even attempt. well, then I guess I'll go into mine, which I have several. Some of these I wasn't sure if I should put them in what or weak, and I kind of kept them in a weak because it's like just because they fit with the story, I guess, that they were trying to tell. So, but I just saw it was weak for what they were doing. And the first one was like Morgan said that they would not kill Jenny with the walker herd, and that they were going to just surround them and then take what they need. And I was like, really, that's your plan? Like, doesn't Jenny have like gas and guns and all this stuff? And somehow I didn't understand it at all. And so I was kind of like, okay, well, if that's your plan, I just was like, okay, I don't know. I found that kind of just weak. It didn't make sense. The part where Dwight jumping off the horse and hurting his leg. And I mean, it's to me, this is another one of those tropes. It's like someone always stumbles and falls and like, oh my gosh, I've sprained or hurt my knee so bad that I can't like, you know, walk away. And I don't know. I've fallen many times in my life from distances and stuff like that. And it's like, I can get, yes, you can get hurt, but I just like, how fragile are our people? Like, I just didn't buy it. I was like, really? And plus, it's like, are they out of adrenaline? Because I'm pretty sure if something's coming to like, that can kill you, that your body can take over and your pain would go away and you would do whatever you need to get out of there and be fine until. Yeah, you had a moment to like kind of catch your breath, and then that's probably when the pain would start. But
well, and they were acting like at the end of the last episode that they were completely out of steam, that they were like close to death or something, and they didn't seem close to death.
Yeah, no, I mean tired and maybe a little dehydrated, but again, your body will keep you going, and it worked for what they needed it for. Next was John not being able to put the ring on his finger. And I was like, come on. I was like, if there's anything I would let the writers off the hook for, this would be it. I was like, let him put the GD ring on his finger. And plus it's like putting it around his neck. I'm like, okay, that's just a really easy way that you're just going to lose it. And Dwight gave those to him and her. And it's like, don't lose it.
Maybe they're going to stay married clandestinely, you know, maybe like Fear the Walking Dead. This is the equivalent of the post-it note on in Grey's Anatomy. We've been watching Grey's Anatomy on Netflix the last few weeks, so we just watched the post-it note episode last night.
That's awesome. Well, he could have done the candy ring, but I guess he must not have any more candy.
Candy beansies.
Yeah, not that. It's like,
no, I know.
All right, Charlie again. I mean, I can't stand listening to her like always yelling for Daniel, and like Daniel's having this Ophelia replacement feelings for her. It's like she killed Nick. And like Ruben even said as much in the Talking Dead like package of where they were at, talking about, I guess, like where they see their characters going in season 6. Yeah. And he was talking about he was wanting to see like more of a relationship build between him and Charlie. But again, I'm just like, come on. Like, she is so getting a pass.
Yeah. And the one thing I noticed him saying is that he doesn't want the character to lose his edge. And I'm like, yeah, he better not lose his edge.
Yeah.
He's close enough to losing his edge that he's almost on the edge.
And Charlie, you really can't play that banjo lally. Ugh.
Last was like not showing Morgan die or get eaten at the end. It's like, I know they want us to think that he's somehow coming back, and I don't know. I don't get like where, like what they could be thinking for the future with him, but like all I saw was a green dumpster. I was like, it was not like some epic cliffhanger that like they've been touting as like, oh, this, everything's going to blow up and it's going to be just crazy. And I was just like, yeah, you don't hear like, you know, the walkers look close enough, but yeah, it's like, dumpster.
Well, like that was the thing that, Mark and I talked about this Saturday morning, I think. That was the thing that I was reserving judgment about a lot of the episode because I wanted to see Talking Dead because I wanted, I actually learned about it a little bit when I saw the Inside the episode, which was on in between the show airing on AMC and Talking Dead. And it was pretty clear from the Inside the episode that they were not saying that Morgan was dead, but the thing based on what we had seen with Madison, we didn't see Madison die. And it was a very similar shot kind of thing with Madison, and she did die. So I was like sitting here, you know, for a day and a half wondering, well, is he dead? Because if he's dead, I'm going to be pissed because, like I said earlier, if they kill off this character, bring him on for only 2 seasons and killing off Madison, again, what the hell would the point be of it? But it seems like they didn't kill him off, or the way I look at it, like I said, the contract negotiations. Right. I totally think it's a real life thing that made it this way. Yeah, they want to have like a cliffhanger, but at the same time, they have the option to kill him off or not to kill him off. They probably want to keep him on, but if they don't sign, if he doesn't want to do it, or he wants to be, you know, not there for the whole, you know, season or something, they've given the they have the out that they can do that. That's why I think they did it, but it's still annoying. But I don't really like that they've done this, but at the same time, I don't feel like he's dead. I felt like he could have been dead, but they're not saying he's dead. And they didn't say that Glenn was dead, by the way. Mm-hmm. So that makes me think he's alive. But whether or not he's going to be there for all of season 6, I'm not.
Yeah, gonna they, take they that left bet. It. They left it open for whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for my stuff, I have several things here. I have so many that I lost count. I think it was 7. And there is a blurring on my all of these could fit in weak sauce or what sauce. And it was just a question of where I was going to put them. So the ones I put in the weak, they did not show clearing out the gulch. I thought that was weak. They should have shown it, you know, at least them getting out of the gulch. For them to not show that, I thought that was just budget and it really, you know. Dwight throwing away the walkie, I hate that kind of stuff. Makes my blood boil. The horse getting swarmed trope, Mark, you had mentioned it earlier. That definitely seems to be a thing that they like doing on these shows. It may have been a callback to the pilot of The Walking Dead with Rick.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of similar, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand just that whole scene because it was like, I guess we were supposed to make that the horse just wasn't cooperating. And so that's how he was like letting them get so close. Because then it was just like, I didn't understand. I'm like, you can kick the horse in the side, like just like get out of there and then come back. But I guess, you know, it was just plot and just, you know, to make that happen.
Or Austin Amelia's horse wasn't the best horse that they had that week, and they had let's make him like, die.
Yeah.
He talked about it on Talking Dead.
No, he did. It's like, it just, if that was an ad lib, or they're like, okay, this horse is just not working out. We're running out of time. Yeah, let's kill it.
passing comment by Grace, something she barely mentions at all. Before this episode, like she mentioned some guy in the power plant, but really mentioned it like just in passing. And then again, early on in this one, you know, hinting that, you know, maybe she did it, which I have more to say about this in my what sauce, but I totally missed this in my first watch. This comment like went completely over on me. So when, they said at the end of the episode that she was pregnant. I was like, what the what? And when I, on second watch, it's like, oh, that's stupid. That's just weak. But I really, if I'm going to give a weak sauce here, it's to June. I really thought you were a good nurse until now. Way to get a good medical history on Grace, June. Hello, you had an ultrasound machine. We see you're using it last episode on her neck. On her neck. That is nowhere you're going to find a pregnancy. That is not near the uterus. That's as far away as you could get, I should say. You should be able to see the fetus with at that stage, 3 or 4 months pregnant. Yeah. You know, it's like, but seriously, it's like, you know, in trying to figure out what's going on with her, wouldn't you like ask, well, have you been sexually active, Grace? I couldn't believe it. I was thinking about it. It just,
were you abducted by aliens? That's why I have to scan your neck. Maybe you have.
But seriously, it's like, if they don't know what's wrong with her, like, why would they at least ask her if she had sex? It's like, you know. It this just completely came out of nowhere, and I didn't see this coming. I would defy anyone seeing this coming. I mean, we may have, you know, joked about it, but
yeah, I think I joked about it back in the mall episode.
Yeah. And you know, when they first said that she was pregnant, I'm like, I went to that mall episode. I'm like, did something happen that we didn't see?
Yeah, I know. Is that why Morgan was smiling?
Yes. Or maybe it was that guy was hurt.
How'd that get there? It slipped out. Sorry, Grace. It just slipped out.
I thought one of the reasons why she was doing the ultrasound was checking out her lymph nodes.
Yeah, of course she was. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, and like, but again, if she's a nurse, like, aren't there other signs of like, this is a pregnancy. Yeah. So yeah, it's like, well, maybe like you're feeling sick in the morning, or like, I don't know, ask yeah, questions?
Fainting, and I looked up fainting and pregnancy, and yes, I think some women do experience that in pregnancy. It's not I don't think it's like a really common symptom. You know, she wasn't craving pickles or something.
She was craving candy beans.
Well, she was she was craving candy beansies. Yeah. So anyway, that I thought that this was really, it is very weak. I mean, good effort in terms of a surprise, but it was weak. And I mentioned this in my rating, sauce on the side in the soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. Enough with every escalating expression being an emotional evaluation of the established. Well, you get my point. Just her use of alliteration is a little much. Even makes me think that maybe Ginny is Eugene's sister.
Well, they are in Texas.
Yeah, that's why it could be, you know. And I thought that it was something that Aim for the Head mentioned, and I hadn't thought of it, but as soon as they mentioned it, I think it was Steve on there talked about it. No, actually, it might have been Diana that mentioned it, but Nair Tamid was a bit weak during the wedding, you know, just because the light shines into the you know, chapel or whatever in between the boards. I thought that was weak. It was a bit of a reach.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go on to probably our most popular category. What sauce?
What?
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City says, what was Dwight thinking letting the Zeds get so close? What happened to Ginny's gun? The one she actually shot Morgan with went somewhere when he hit her with his staff. She grabbed some random gun on a Zed's waist instead of grabbing the one she knew worked. What?
I didn't understand this either. Yeah. And I went back today and tried to make sense of this, and I couldn't make sense of it. Why didn't she go for that? Why would she go for a gun that had been laying on a Zed for who knows how long? And
or could have been a prop gun, too.
It could have been a prop gun, sure. It just was, it was silly, and I didn't understand it. I mean, maybe she couldn't see her gun, but nevertheless.
All right. Well, next is Aaron from the internet. She goes, this can't go in awesome sauce because it's not confirmed yet, but does the ending mean Les Morgan now? If so, yay. I doubt they'll kill him because it's Morgan. Sherry will probably rescue him and help him recoup, but still less him is a plus moving forward, I feel.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I kind of, jokingly mentioned Sherry earlier, but it would make total sense if Sherry is in there somewhere, rescues him, maybe,
the CRM lady.
Well, maybe Dwight didn't actually hallucinate Sherry.
Sherry, yeah.
Maybe that was Sherry actually. So we don't know, but it seems to me if he is going to be rescued, I think it could very well be from Sherry. So we'll see.
That would make for a shocker season premiere episode.
What?
All right, Mark, what about you? What do you have in the what sauce?
Well, what in the blue hell, Ginny? You offer help and then shoot Morgan? Yeesh, some efficiency expert you are. There's someone there that can help control the people you want to control. And you shoot them and leave them to die? Yeesh. Plus the whole elusiveness by the producers on The Talking Dead. No confirmation of Lenny coming back. Or if the character is dead or alive, boo.
Boo just, indeed.
Just like in Princess Bride, boo. but only mentioning of Morgan on The Talking Dead in the memoriam section. They just mention him, and they don't even declare that he's dead. Right. No evidence to back it up, just like Glenn.
Yep. And that's what I was thinking. It's like I was, you know, we talked about it, Mark. I waited for this, and it's like if they had shown Morgan there, my reaction to this would be quite a bit different. I probably would give it a 3 or 4 out of 10 because I would have been really pissed that they killed him off. Not that he probably will die or could die here, but I just, like I say, it's like, why would you do? It's like you completely gutted the show for a character and then you kill him off. Like, no way, man. So he better come back. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I know, Aaron, you probably disagree, and it's okay.
Well, I felt like when Morgan was telling Jenny that it was all or nothing, like when he was basically making, I guess, his demands.
Yeah.
Like, because he did say, he was like, if anything happens to anyone in the group, then he was like, okay, you know, then we'll both lose. And I felt like, because, you know, at least the way I saw how Jenny reacted, at least the way I read it, it was like, I felt like that's when she decided that she had to get rid of him. And
you're probably right.
I mean, it seemed like she was just like, fine, whatever. Like, you guys can come. Like, you know, like she ended up kind of like, you know, agreeing to it all. But that whole little speech that he had, it looked like there was this nod of Jenny just being like, I'm going to get rid of him, because that's a problem. She can get all those people and then just, you know, they're split them all up. You know, it kind of made sense. So
you got more, Mark?
I do. I forgot. So Grace Prager's now, huh? I know the reason for the sonogram. I thought about it when they talked about it during the mole episode. It's like kind of foreshadowing. It's just coming up all things, you know, to need at a mall. And I think we questioned it too, but yeah, you know, we were trying to figure out some sort of, you know, reasoning behind it. I knew there was some sort of underlying story behind the sonogram. I guess Grace got jiggy with that guy and was able to move on to Morgan after a while, apparently. 3 months later, I'm assuming. I guess she was really cold at night and needed warmth from the guy, and he kind of helped out. And my big question is, do we get a toxic Avenger baby when it's born? Does she call it Morgan, or is it Morgana? Honestly, thought the sonogram was going to be put into play for John and June at some point, because, you know, of all people to have a child.
All right, Kyle, what about you?
Well, I and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but like the whole thing just, I don't know, it put me off. But like, John tells June that he's going to make an honest woman out of her. And I kind of was like, is that kind of sexist? And I just like, I mean, it's like, what makes a woman honest? Like that phrase, I don't understand it. It's like, what makes a woman honest? Is it because of, like, by marriage? As like, and is she a whore if she isn't married? Like, I just didn't understand what it's supposed to mean. And I didn't want to Google it because I was just like, I don't want to, you know, it's an old, you know, term or whatever.
It's a Western thing.
Yeah.
They said that in the Westerns, and they're in Humbug's Gulch, and, you know, John Dory's very, you know, cowboy-like. So, I mean, it makes sense in that realm, but yeah, it is a sexist term, you know.
Woman of ill repute would have been a better one. But then again,
you know, think about it. It's June / Naomi / Laura. She wasn't exactly honest at the beginning, so.
That now makes it, you know, more sense. It's just at the time when he said it, it just, I don't know, I just totally was like, what?
No, it doesn't. It is a sexist term. I say those things about the Naomi and Laura for, you know, irony. But yeah, in general, that is kind of a sexist term, especially these days, you know?
Yeah, I think that's where I came from, because I was like, what? Well, then, so Luciana was with Jenny's group. So they called off the Walker Herd birthday surprise party for Jenny. why didn't they just leave the herd? Like, they got them out of Humboldt Gulch, and it's like, why was there any need to keep rounding them up? If the mission was called off, couldn't they have just been like, okay, we're out of here? I didn't understand it. It was like, why keep them? You know, there was no need. They're far enough away. I'd be like, hey, if they head towards Jenny, great, but we don't have to do this anymore.
I think that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, they could have just left them there,
right,
and headed back. So, you know,
seemed like that would have been the more logical thing to do, but not for the plot. Well, and then I actually was like watching this with my husband, and when I saw it, when they left the gulch and they were leading the walkers away, that first scene that you see all of them on the horses and it goes past the camera and then you see the herd, and I was like, why is Grace with them? I mean, yeah. She's sick. So we believe at this moment, and it was right. Like, why bring her on this really important mission? And she's riding with Morgan, and I just, she wasn't really doing any help.
Yeah. And riding for the first time. You know, she wasn't experienced on a horse. So
yeah,
I didn't understand this either. The only reason was because of, you know, another time to experience Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, like another moment to have, like, but it made no sense plot wise. She should have been, it made no sense at all. Like, she's sick, you leave her behind.
Right. With the you other, know, with the,
yeah,
the rest of the,
yeah,
with
it, other people. It didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had this in mind as well, or I was going to, but,
yeah. Did you notice that she was like backwards at one point? Like, her back was to Morgan's back at one point, and then in another scene she's turned around.
I didn't notice that, but
no, I didn't notice that either. Yeah. I did notice that. I thought Lenny James said on The Talking Dead that riding those horses was really hard because they weren't saddled, like they were riding them without gear. Yeah. And then of course through the whole entire episode, even when Dwight finds them, they all have saddles and gear, but I don't know, I just kind of thought that was weird. And then my last thing was just like John shooting his gun, because I was like, how far away are they from the MRAP, like where they're trying to, you know, because they're wanting to go ambush Jenny, so like, why are you shooting your gun? Like, people can hear that like miles away probably here in Texas. And then Jenny's, yeah, she's got the cars, but like, I'm sure they're going to hear guns going off and be like, what's that? You know?
Well, we don't exactly know where Strand and Daniel are with respect to those that are on horses, so how far away they were.
Right. But if they're wanting to like lead this herd towards them,
yeah,
they can't be that far away, because
no,
what's the point?
Right. Well, so I had 7 what sauces here. The first one, I've already talked about the fact that, you know, about killing off Morgan is a waste, and I will be pissed if he ends up dying at the end of this. But I gotta bring up the thing that I still, you know, several days later from, you know, first watch on Friday night, I still don't understand this, and this brought down my rating just by itself 2 points. I'm thinking of what Strand said last episode. Your stratagem doesn't seem particularly efficient. I really do not understand Jenny's strategy here at all. If you really want them to fall in line, why in God's name would she be splitting up families, whether the de facto ones like Daniel and Charlie, or in the case of John and June, or Sarah and Wendell's cases, actual families? If she's wanting them to, like, you know, assimilate and want to be a part of this community, it makes no sense that she would split up husband and wife, you know, children and mothers and all of that stuff just to control them, you're not going to be able to control them. If you split them up, they're just going to do everything in their power to get back together, as Daniel says to Charlie, as Sarah says to Wendell. It literally makes no sense at all. Like, I can see them, I could see you're splitting up the group. Okay, that's one thing, but to split up individual families, no effing way. That makes no sense at all. And I did not understand why she would even think of doing this. It could have been maybe dealt with in dialogue, like some reason to explain this. Mm-hmm. But without that, -2 right there, because that just does not seem like a constructive thing to do. And it really pissed me off, actually, because I just thought, you know, like, they didn't even do this in, like, you know, prison camps. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. No, that, well, I thought it was smart of her to do that. But now, like, what you're saying, it's like, yeah, that makes sense too, because you're kind of like splitting up groups that have a tighter bond maybe than just groups that just happened to run into each other over the last month. But I think at least the way we're supposed to probably be seeing it on the show, or at least the way that they're trying to do it, was just like they're breaking up the larger group because they're together are, you know, a threat.
But right.
Pulling
and
them
that
apart,
I understand.
Right.
That I understand. If that was their intent, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But the splitting up the families, that makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah.
People are a resource.
Yeah. And you and think about it for a minute. Think about that. If people are a resource, you want them to be able to be at their peak, if you know, their peak efficiency or their peak attitude, like, and they're going to get depressed, they're going to be anxious, they're going to defy you if they can't be with their loved ones. Mm-hmm. And that's why I did not understand this part at all. Like, I wanted someone to ask the producers this question, and they did not ask that question. I really wanted an answer.
And at least we do get to see that obviously it's not going to work, because, you know, Strand's basically saying, hey, you know, we can do more damage on the inside when he's talking to Alicia. Obviously, you have, you know, Daniel and Charlie, you know, like, oh, well, I'll find you. So, I mean, it's like they do put mm-hmm. that in there, just saying like, okay, yeah, our group's been split apart. Maybe they weren't even thinking them in family terms. They were just like, oh, we're ripping our group apart. And then
they even took away his cat.
I know. That was that made no sense at all. Because it's all. Like is a cat
that's
going to
mean.
Conspire against you?
Yeah, that's just mean. And it makes no sense to me at all if they would do that. At all.
Yeah, she'd never really read Negan's book, and that's why I said people are a resource, because that's exactly what Negan was saying throughout the whole time.
And that is something that she believes, that people are a resource, but you're not going to get them to be a peak. Like, again, it just makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah.
Zero. So that part of it, just from a writing perspective, I think that they could have accomplished what they wanted. You know, split apart friends, that's one thing, but split apart families is another. And I have to think that it's not just those, you know, two or three families. Well, yeah, it's more than just them that have been split apart. So this whole damn season, this whole time, she's just got a bun in the oven. I mean, why this misdirection? What was the point? Because this hit me on the first watch. Like I said earlier, I did not catch the line or two that she said about, like, kind of being with this guy. So it just was like, what the hell? But this is the first time that she's mentioned having any relations, you know, in the Bill Clinton sense, the sexual relations. I did not have sexual relations with Miss Lewinsky. But that's the point, though, is she never even mentioned it. So until, you know, now. So, yeah, okay, I kind of criticized June, but still. And I still criticized June. She should have caught this. But why were they, to another point, why were they taking the walkers to, they were taking them to the MRAP. Like, why take them there? Like, if it's a question of, you know, scaring or whatever, I didn't get, like, why did they just not take away the MRAP? The MRAP was on the other side, and that was a confusing point. I know I heard one podcast, I think it was Walking Dead cast, were very confused about this today when I listened to them. The MRAP and one of the trucks and at least one or two other vehicles were on this side of the bridge. They had crossed, yet they didn't take them, which made no sense at all last week. But the MRAP, it's like if Ginny wants the MRAP, take away the MRAP. Go back and get it. And if you can't drive it to the gulch, drive it as far away as you can. You know? Again, made no sense. It's ironic. This is not really a what sauce, but kind of irony that only fits here. It's ironic that the person that was most not part of the future, at least that's what it seemed like, is now the most important piece of the future in Grace, because she's got a baby coming. Unless it's a Toxic Avenger baby, like you said, Mark.
Oh.
One thing I pointed out, when Dwight comes back with the horses, right away he says something about, like, Ginny lied because she said that, you know, they had lost the water hole. But Dwight had already left. He was already gone when Morgan had that conversation with Ginny. So how did he even know?
On his walkie-talkie? Oh, that's right. He threw his
walkie-talkie. Yeah, he wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't there. So unless he got that over the walkie with Morgan telling him about it after the fact or listening in, maybe he listened in. Maybe that's what it
is. The walkie.
You know what? Okay. Maybe that makes sense. If he still had the walkie at the time, he would have been hearing that conversation. So, okay, that actually makes sense. I worked it through. So, did Grace take advantage of this guy? Did he seduce her while he was dying? So he was dying, but he was strong enough to have sex with her? These were questions that I had. I still have, because she says that the guy's dying, so she, you know, let it happen or something like that. Like, that I was like, what does that mean? Like, did Toxic Avenger daddy rape her or something, or, you know, seduce her, or, you know,
they were
sexually
cold.
Coerce her? You know, come on, let me have a piece before my last piece.
Well, because we know, wasn't there...
Sorry for anyone that was offended by that, by the way. I was in character.
But no, that's the thing. This could have been a boyfriend, but, you know, she never says anything other than it's just this guy that she, or her friend or whatever. But, I mean, wasn't there the episode where Morgan comes across that compound or those houses and there was like a picture? And I don't know if Grace was in that picture or...
I think she was.
Yeah, no, and we were... I think we even had to talk about it. It's like, oh, maybe that's her husband or her, you know, that's her beau in that picture. But...
We were just hanging out. Watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for my what sauce finally, so let's move on to sad / aw sauce.
Aww.
And we have both definitions this episode, so Mark,
Aaron from the internet, Sad Sauce, Morgan as the quote-unquote leader. How have they not mutinied against him yet? Aaron's Awsauce would be Grace and Daniel singing together again. I definitely liked Daniel singing this song with her better than their last time.
All right, next is Glynis from Toronto. She says, the whole group separating, even Skidmark from Daniel. That was just mean. Yep. So John and June have come full circle back to searching for each other again.
Exactly.
That's true. That is kind of sad. Morgan watching the car Grace was leaving in and then finding out Grace is pregnant when his situation looks dire. Yeah, I agreed with that one. Damn, another horse dies. Yep, reminds me of Rick and his horse. Same coloring, too, yeah. In The Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 1. Both times, same outcome for the horse. Not good being a horse in the apocalypse.
Yeah, and there was Daryl and Aaron, I remember, had a horse thing in Season 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was going to go touch it or something in the woods or something.
Yeah.
Next, Dwight is in yet another scenario with a power-hungry leader.
Yeah, and, true.
And step away from that SWAT truck, Virginia. And Al parting ways with a camera. That's sort of her crutch. Yeah.
I didn't say it earlier, but the John and June going full circle. That's a good point, Glynis. Mm-hmm. It is kind of full circle. So at least they kind of know where they're going to be. I mean, they know that they're in communities. So there are 6 communities we saw on the map, I believe. So they may not know where each of them have gone, but they know that they're there. So at least there's that. But yeah, they have to struggle to find each other again. Hence my what's us. All right, Mark, you've got a couple?
Yeah, my sad sauce would be Morgan. Enough said.
Yep.
And a little bit of the awe for me would be really come from Talking Dead. That would be Jenna was really fighting back, and I felt, but, you know, she was holding back on her thoughts, and as she was talking, as soon as they were able to talk about funny things that happened on set, it got a little lighthearted for the Talking Dead, but I could tell they were struggling.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's sad in a sense because it's like Morgan, I guess, of whatever the outcome that's going to happen for him, but I kind of in some parts just want it to be over with his character. Like just either just give us a finale, finite, just like it's over, done. And I don't want another dumpster, but seeing him in that situation. Yeah. It's sad because you think about where he's come and now this is where he ends up possibly, leaving this world. Mm-hmm. That's sad because you want him to go out with a bang.
Well, I mean, that's the thought. Do you think he's dead?
I think he is.
Mark, do you think Morgan's dead?
No.
I say he's alive as well. So
I'm just waiting for somebody with a helicopter from CRM to take him.
Oh, that's another possibility.
I was trying to bring that up earlier, but you were going. That was the first thing because we have not seen that woman again. And I was thinking, well, you're thinking Sherry. Everybody else is thinking maybe Dwight snuck away, but we have not seen much of the CRM people towards the end of the season. So what happened?
For that matter, Sherry could be with the CRM.
True.
For that matter. But yeah, somebody has to, I hadn't thought of that, but if the CRM people are coming, they better come soon because I don't think Morgan's got long for this world. Yeah. He has to get saved pretty quickly.
Especially how close they were coming to him as he was just laying on the porch.
Yeah. And then if this is something that leads into the movie or is shown in the movie only, that makes more sense for him to... Maybe not even him being in next season at all. And he just will see this part of it, like in the movie somehow. I don't know.
So I want to circle back here because it's related to what I have down for sad sauce. Mark, you mentioned Jenna fighting back some thoughts, you think. Is she going to be at Walker Stalker Con?
Yes.
She confirmed?
Yeah, she was confirmed from what I understand.
Yeah.
Mo Collins is going to be there. I think a lot of the Fearcast are going to be there.
I would love to be a birdie on the on the wall, so to speak. Birdie in the window, listening to conversations about the show. Because I would be curious, like, if I don't know if you were planning to, you know, get anything with them. And by the way, listeners, I don't think I'm going to end up making Walker Stalker Con Atlanta, unfortunately. So I'd hope that we get a nice Patreon bump, but we didn't get a bump, so I don't see it happening. But Mark is going, and I don't think you'd be able to get an interview, but
I could only go up to her and ask a couple of questions. That would be about it. But yeah, the media pass only allows me to do covering on the floor, and that's about it.
Yeah. And, hopefully, we could do something, next season for that. But yeah, we're not going to be able to get that. But I had a similar thought, with Chris Hardwick on Talking Dead. It seemed really forced in a lot of the things that he was saying on this episode of Talking Dead in a way that I don't think I've ever seen him force it. I felt bad for him in a way, because you know he's always been a good cheerleader for the two shows, but man, he hasn't full-time been covering Fear this season, but I have to think, I would love to be a fly on the wall, so to speak, and know what he's thinking. Cause I have to think, he has to put the best foot forward, but even when he said you guys should be praised for your efforts this season, I'm like, come on. About, have you seen the Rotten Tomatoes ratings?
No.
Yeah. And by the way, last episode finally has a rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's 17. So it finally did get a rating. But So anyway, I felt bad for him, and that's about all. But, it's also sad splitting up the families like that. Just totally not right. All right, so let's move on to our regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. We only got one voicemail this week, and that's from Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead Talker. This is Steve, and just a few thoughts for End of the Line. And I think there's definitely something wrong with the group. Maybe not wrong, but just interesting to note that Dwight and Alicia are the most positive and hopeful people here. That just seems a little... They're the only ones who are like, we can do it. And everybody else is like, oh, they got more guns and they're tougher than us and there's more people and blah, blah, blah. We're not even going to try. We're just going to give up. I don't know. Our group being split up by Jenny is it sets up interesting for next season. I'm really going to have to decide and think about what I want to do next season. I may end up letting the episodes stack up and watch two or three at a time and then send in some voicemail instead of trying to do every single episode. I don't know, but I like sending them in. So we'll see. Love the Jewish wedding with even going so far as to stomp the glass wrapped up in the napkin or whatever it was there and everybody yelling Mazel Tov. I thought that was really great. And there was a lot of, I don't know, this whole season, I'm going to write some things down and I'll send it to through the Facebook group so you can add it to ratings and awesome sauce and weak sauce and what sauce. But there was just, just another episode of leaving us with a bunch of questions of why didn't they try this or why didn't they do that? And this kind of leap of logic that Al makes because she found the badges. And I guess because they know that there is a water source near that Jenny had lied. And so I don't know. It just, that seemed like a little kind of a leap of logic for them to just suddenly go, well, that means that she killed all these people, but there was a big battle here and she lost 5 of her soldiers and didn't come back to get the horses that, and the horses survived when there's 200 Zeds around. Anyway, I've gone too long. So talk to you later.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for your feedback and for your voicemails all through the season. Much appreciated. And you and Mark on Panels of Pixels.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
He
so
some good points exactly with like Alicia and Dwight were like, come on, we can do this. And everybody else were just like, it's not, yeah, just out of it.
Yeah, it made me think of the Water Boy.
You can do it! You can do it! You can do it! You can do it!
You can do it.
I don't think you need all of those. Just pick the best one. But yeah, that was the first thing that came up when I did the search for it. But yeah, so it made me think of Rob Schneider. You can do it. But he makes a good point, though. Only Alicia and Dwight are, you know, saying, come on, guys, we can do this. And they're all kind of like, They really did kind of give up. And yeah, that doesn't seem in character for most of them.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. And let's move on. We have feedback from LT from NC, who, like Steve, is one of our Patreon supporters. So thank you so much, LT. He says, so why is it the most romantic scene in the episode was Dwight hugging on the horse? That's funny. I want Daniel to be my mechanic because I've never, ever seen anyone take a starter off an engine that fast. Strand may have the long game in mind, but it doesn't make me any happier with what happened during the zombie roundup segment. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Strand is kind of doing what Strand is good at. And I think that he could, like, kind of lead a clandestine, you know, like the French in World War II or something like that, you know, a little resistance movement. Yeah, so I could see him doing that. I really enjoyed seeing John Dory on horseback. He has that cowboy air, and it looked like he could actually ride. Mm-hmm. Dwight, bless your heart. The answer would be in rein in hard to one side and sink the spurs to her and let the mass and inertia of around however many thousand pounds of horse knock the walkers down and you ride off. But like the cars and so many other things, horse died to service the plot. Very true.
Yep, agreed. Yeah. All right. And he continues, it was good to see Alicia back with her barrel shroud again, but alas, it came way too late in the season to help out a lot. I wonder what will become of Al now, just given the way they played her interactions with Jenny. I guess we'll see next year. That's very true. I don't feel like
we will.
Jenny and Al definitely, like, Jenny wants something from her, obviously, because about the helicopter, but whether or not once she gets her information, work to the goulash.
Reminds me, I think we're going to end up having a lot of this universe in 2020 because we've got the other series. You know, we will have the second half of season 10 and the first half of season 11 and Fear and You know, so like there's going to be a lot of zombie coverage mm-hmm. next season for sure, or next year, I should say.
Yeah, no, for sure. Maybe 24/7 probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, it continues on. It was nice to see the wedding scene and, of course, the predictable end game where the newlyweds are split up. If Skidmark dies, we riot. which leads us to the end of the episode. I guess the We Hate Morgan crowd can draw some joy in the fact he got shot twice. My question is, will we get another version of Glenn Dumpster Magic?
Yeah, I mean, I think this time it could be Dumpster, and it certainly is, you know, it looks like they're upon him, but the Dumpster looked too much like he was dead. And I think there is some element where we could see Morgan get up and somehow get away from them, or, you know, hide from them in some way. So he could get away from this one, but it is Dumpster-ish.
Yeah, dumpster-like, but yeah, not like the Glenn Dumpster. Just like Madison, you know, we don't see her body, we don't see her ripped to shred, but they do obviously confirm later, she does too, that, you know, she died. But we never saw it, so of course, when you don't see it, doesn't mean that they can't return.
Will she be at Walker Stalker Con?
Good
question. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't remember seeing anything about it.
Right. Well, continues on saying, Morgan should have watched the speech Daniel Day-Lewis gave in Last of the Mohicans for a I Will Find You monologue that sticks. Maybe it's just me, but I think giving the walkie-talkie speech is a lower priority compared to stopping the bleeding and getting to cover. And finally, the writers did play the fizzle shot to the head properly. If the cap and ball revolver was loaded with black powder, it will do just that sort of thing, since black powder is hydroscopic, draws moisture from the air. However, given that they are in Texas and apparently it's kind of dry in that version of the gulch. Then he says, hopefully The Walking Dead will be easier to watch than Fear has been. And oh yes, it will be.
Yes, yes, you'll be.
Definitely.
You will not be disappointed.
All right. So I got a couple of quick ones here. Mark Olivier from Montreal simply says, Gimple has got to go. Well, it makes you wonder how much of this is Gimple and how much of this is the co-showrunners. But simply, you know, simply Gimply. You do have to throw some of this at him because, you know, he's supervising the whole thing. So, Renee from the internet, who's new to the Facebook group. So, just have to say for that, Renee, welcome.
Welcome.
She simply says, why? With sad faces and crying faces times five. And I assume that she thinks that Morgan's dead. And, you know, he could very well be. Unfortunately, we're going to have to probably take about a year before we know for sure.
Yep.
Well, Glennis from Toronto says, ha, I hit the nail on the head with Grace being pregnant in my previous post last week. Is Morgan the father? I can hear echoes of Morgan saying, I am your father, in a Darth Vader's voice.
You know, it's funny that you got brought up, because I thought about the same thing about Chris Hardwick. This was one funny thing from Talking Dead when he mentioned Maury Povich.
Oh, yeah. He could be around. He could be. Yeah.
Yeah. You are not the father.
So it turns out they could have managed without Virginia's help after all, as they managed to clear the town of the walkers, thanks to Dwight finding the horses, or the horses rather finding him, so they could herd them out of the town. I see Strand is back to his negotiating ways with giving the SWAT starter back to Virginia, though I think this time it's to give Virginia a false sense of his loyalty. Virginia wanting to talk later to Al about the helicopter. I don't think she can get too far with that, as Al can just say she and the group has seen a helicopter in the area and wondered if it was Virginia's team. That helicopter group could deal with Virginia and company, and they might even be observing these communities of Virginia and the settlers, probably dandling that thread for the audience as we jump on anything like that that is related to The Walking Dead. So wait to see what Morgan's fate is. Doesn't look good since he's resolved his demons, which has illustrated by his message to the group on the radio to just live.
Yeah, it's a good point about Al. It's like she could say just like, oh, we thought that was your group. But she got that answered whenever Morgan and her were talking to Virginia, because she was all like, she mentioned something like the helicopter, and she's like, helicopter?
Yeah. Helicopter, we just got gas.
Yeah. So she couldn't use that. All right, well, next is Dieta from Detroit, and she starts off saying, I guess they were trying to move the story in a so-called different direction. Why not sure what was wrong with the direction the show originally started with? Shrug emojis. The last two seasons, in my opinion, have been awful. Two thumbs down.
Yep. Cannot disagree.
No. Yeah, for sure. Dwight inspires our group to clear the Humboldt Gulch after they wimped out on themselves. Oh, look, our group remembers they have skills, finally. They come up with a plan to lead the walkers to meet Jenny to, what, threaten her? Didn't understand that. Why not just use them as a weapon to take them out, even if, especially Jenny, once she is gone, then they may have the upper hand? What was the point of this episode? Oh yeah, to kill Morgan off. Nah, not gonna happen. Sherry's going to save him at the last minute is my prediction. But then again, I could be wrong, and if so, goodbye Morgan. Hopefully he will take all this no-killing philosophical ideals with him. Hello Morgan, you cannot survive the zombie apocalypse without killing. All this kumbaya mess will get you killed. Next is, so after all the clearing, they still ended up giving in to the settlers and getting separated with promises to find each other once again. Weak, weak. Who does that? And now Daniel's so attached to Charlie, Strand up to his old tricks again, runs and tells the group's plan to Jenny and gives them the starter for the SWAT truck. Why? What is he up to? He can really think he can strike a deal with them, can he?
I don't think so. I think that he's trying to work his magic from inside. Create some discontent, create a resistance, that type of thing.
Yeah. Or maybe his idea was like, because him and Daniel did talk about like, maybe it might not be so bad, with this group. We don't know, that much about them or whatever. But, maybe Strand is trying to work that angle where he's going to kind of get on Jenny's side to get some rapport, but then in the background, try to do what he can to help the group or find the group if they're going to be split up, And so, obviously he says that to Alicia. So it's like he's got other plans, but I think at this point, he's on the side of, them to butter them up, so to speak. All right. Last was, why is Joyce on a horse and sick with Morgan? Yep. And Joyce, she met Grace. And we find out she's pregnant. Who's the daddy? The zaddy?
The zaddy.
Yep.
Yeah, it has to be this nondescript, terminally ill guy. But again, it just seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Do we have any other episodes? No. Yeah. All right. So do we have any other notes, Mark?
Yeah. End of the line. It's more like end of the crime of this season. I hope next season gets better writers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed. Or yeah. And then maybe a little more budget so they can shoot more locations.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut the budget.
Yeah. So they're going to be like in one farm or bowling alley, and it'll be that same like scene the whole entire episode. My only thing was like the title card or title card at the beginning. Like, you know, usually they have something to do with, you know, what's going on in the episode or something like that. But wasn't there just like a grave with flowers? And then there was a horse out in the distance.
I saw the horse. I didn't see the grave.
Yeah, there was a grave and it had the flowers on it. And obviously, I'm like, I don't understand what that means. And I was like, was that supposed to be Tom?
Or was it supposed to be Morgan?
That's the question. It's go back and look at it. You'll see it. I was like, it didn't make any sense.
Maybe they just want us to look at the flowers.
Well, that, or if that's a misdirection, well, then that's a dumpster too. The next was like Jenny said, they have about 817 people in all our communities. And I was like, that is a lot of people. And like when our group is like, what, 40? So yeah. I was like, so is she doing the right thing? Like, if she's telling the truth, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's lying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised her lying. But like even the dude, when Daniel says, you know, that's my cat, you know, and it's like, not anymore. You don't. Like, I said that, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but like, that cat, so always with me or something, and not anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, like, why you gotta be such a dick?
Well, I thought they were there was like they were being so very heavy-handed with everyone.
Everyone, yes.
And it was like, it wasn't this like, come on, guys, we're gonna go. Yeah, we're gonna take you into the place because, you know. Well, they were just like, it was like, yeah, they're being arrested or, you know, like,
yeah, but not exactly true to the recruiting video,
right? No, not at all. Which makes you question, is this what they do? Yeah.
I don't get it. It's
like that doesn't make you friends. That makes enemies within your walls.
Right.
Basically.
Right. And why take people that don't want to be there, you know, or that want to be with, you know, other people and you don't allow it? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The other part was like, oh, just a Strand. Like, he has really, I felt, been most the like in character this season. And so, like, I'm because of him, I'm kind of looking forward to next season just to see him. And he even mentions it into like in The Talking Dead and his little spot about the future that he wants to go back to, like, you know, OG Strand and like, you know, earlier seasons. And, you know, I don't know, like I, you know, we all liked Strand, you know, back then. And it's like him going back to that kind of character and this conniving and like telling, you know, doing what he has to do to, you know, at that point was kind of like for his own self-preservation, but now he's got the group. So that could
That's what made him an interesting character. The first three seasons. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think he was the most interesting character on the show.
Yeah.
And he really hasn't been as interesting these two seasons. They took away all that like shiftiness and, you know, negotiator, survivor type stuff and really put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
To some extent for the positive, but you know, they took his edge away, and this is, I think, what he's about to do, I think, is going to be a better, it should bring out more of those interesting qualities in the character that we liked. And I think the same for Daniel. Like we've mentioned that he's nothing like how he's been in previous seasons, and we didn't necessarily mind his character, but at the same time, those were the things that made his character interesting. So I want to see in both characters some kind of mixture of what we had seen in the past with these new qualities. Because I think if we see that, like that kind of shiftiness, almost like Carol can kind of, you know, be this chameleon and come in and out the way that she does, and be an ultimate survivor. And I think in his own way, Strand is like that in a different way, but similar way. I think using those traits that he has, negotiating, manipulating, I want to see more of next season. And okay, so I guess it's my turn. So I wanted to pose a question back to you, Kyle. And that was, I think last week you had, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, you were wondering if Ginny was all that bad. Mm-hmm. And what do you think now?
Yeah, she's bad.
Yeah. I mean, what did, well, obviously we see that she's bad, but I mean, what was it about her that you thought that maybe she wasn't bad, that kind of, you know, the lid got blown off this episode?
I mean, I guess it was just about how at least her shtick was like, I'm trying to build the future. I'm trying to bring people to my group, you know, like we are establishing like communities and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, yeah, the way that she was kind of like dealing with our group, like, I just feel like our group wasn't asking enough questions. They were just like, you're just bad, so we don't like you. But it's like, yeah, what about your communities that are so good? You know, like, we never got that information, that I feel like that's what we were kind of questioning. And then now that we're at this point, yeah, we see that she basically, you know, cut off the Humboldt Gulch, whatever place that was there. I guess her own people went in there and there was a battle and a fight, and that was the aftermath. So it's right. Yeah. So like the fact that she said, oh yeah, that group, oh, when I tried to like offer them help, they like said no, so I cut them off or whatever. And then it was like, okay, now we get it. But you know, there was just so much of just being so vague about everything.
Yeah. And like, that's one thing that I don't understand is like, that if she's trying to build, you know, a society or whatever, why not peacefully coexist with these communities? Like, why couldn't she peacefully coexist with the people that were the 263 souls, as she said, or as I put in the comments here, reasons not to watch next season, 263 reasons not to watch. But that made me wonder, there are 817 people in her communities. Like they're under her auspices, as I think she said at one point. But that's like, if you're trying to build a society, there should be no reason why you can't peacefully coexist with another group that, you know, like establish trade, you know, establish relations. You don't have to dominate them, but that's what it seems like she's trying to do, you know, much like Negan, yeah. I guess. But I don't know. Again, I've said it several times this episode, but it's almost like they're internment camps, you know, that these people are forced to be there. And that's her idea of maintaining that people will continue if they're forced in these camps that, you know, without any freedom of movement or whatever. I don't get it. It's not the way that she really should be.
Well, it's also like they never really came in. Like they could have given us some little more insight to why we should be on board with our group and not hers, or right. even like suggest that like maybe they should like open her, you know, because like, you know, with Negan, you know, our group goes and attacks their outpost, the radio tower or whatever. And then you see the photos of people's heads bashed in. So yeah. It's like you saw.
That's a good point.
You saw like, oh, this like group or whoever, because everybody was Negan at that point, you know.
Right.
But it was like, you knew, like, our group knew, like, yeah, we're dealing some with basically like sick or like bad people.
Yeah.
We never got that other than until now at the end that it's like, oh, she's kind of a dick.
Yeah. And, you know, we might see more of it in season 6, but
it could have helped.
I wonder if she's going to be a season regular, or if they're just going to kill her off, you know, she's going to be like Logan. Yeah. I think that they could build that into a decent season. So, you know, I reserve judgment, but I think, and I wanted to make sure that I said this episode is, as many things that we have that are bad to say right now about season 5, I want you guys to remember, and listeners to remember, about season 2 of this show. And in a lot of ways, we were, at least I wasn't, very positive on season 2 of Fear. And you know, I had to do some soul searching whether or not I wanted to continue to cover Fear in season 3. And because Ruthie decided very early on she didn't want to cover Fear, and it was only, you know, when Kyle stepped up that, you know, we ended up deciding to go forward with it. But I'm glad we did, because that was the best season. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But I really wasn't too sure about it. But look at what we got the best season of the show, and it was in a lot of ways as good as the better seasons of The Walking Dead. And so let's remember this, because it's very possible that they could put things together and learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And come up with a solid season 6, and let's hope that they do that. But it doesn't look good. And if, like, I'm also, even though I said that about Fear season 2 and comparing it to Fear season 3, a show that I didn't podcast on, but I watched pretty religiously several years ago, was Falling Skies. And Falling Skies, I brought this up several times on this show, but Falling Skies, I thought season 1 was magnificent. Season 2 and 3 were excellent as well. And then they changed showrunners, and season 4 was terrible. And I thought, well, you know, maybe they'll learn from their mistakes. And then season 5 came, and it was even worse. So I hope that it does a Fear season 2-3 versus a Falling Sky season 4-5.
Please, please. I hope to. Falling Skies was, I was probably right there with you screaming at the TV, or like just shaking my head.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for our feedback for this episode. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Ratings, you may be surprised, are up. Actually, it's not that surprising, because it was a season finale. Fear the Walking Dead, season 5, episode 16, got a 0.41 in the 18-49 coveted demographic, with 1.513 million viewers. And that is up from last week's 0.35 and 1.340 million viewers. Now, Talking Dead, which hasn't been on all half season. The last time it was on was for episode 9. This week, at a very late hour of 11:32 p.m., it got a 0.07. So 007 in the 18 to 49 with 293,000 viewers, which I imagine when The Walking Dead comes back, Talking Dead will get better ratings than Fear did. So, but it is up from the mid-season premiere. It got a 0.06 that time with 249,000 viewers. So that was similarly delayed, of course, because of Preacher. But it was delayed. Sorry, they were delayed both times, but it did quite a bit better. And I said it last time that people were probably forgot that Talking Dead would be on last time. So I would suggest they probably remembered. So that's why it was a little higher, but still. I don't have any info about this episode, but I'm probably going to put in the show notes a couple of interviews that I read. One was Josh Wigler from The Hollywood Reporter, and he's sometimes on the post-show recaps, Walking Dead. Actually, I think he's going to be one of the co-hosts of post-show recaps, The Walking Dead podcast. Rob Cesternino, I think, is stepping down from that. I think he had enough after Henry.
Yeah.
Anyway, he mentioned, and I looked it up. He did an interview with the showrunners of Fear that I'll post in the Facebook group. That was pretty interesting, but I don't have any like specific quotes to bring up. But he did ask some questions about those guys that I thought were worth bringing up. And that's it as far as the info, but I, other than the inside the episode or inside Fear season 5, there was a couple of videos that I know they're on YouTube as well, but they're also on AMC.com. that talk about the season and things like that. They're worth, both of them, I think, are about 10 minutes each. They're worth watching if you're interested. We had mentioned it early on. Earlier tonight, we recorded a short reaction, first reaction episode to the season premiere of The Walking Dead. If you have AMC Premiere, that is available right now. And if I could ever do an ad to promote them, the fact that you can see this a whole week ahead is pretty awesome. And I still have some issues with the app. Like, the one thing that drives me crazy is if I start watching the episode, and this was happening today. I'm chatting with you guys on Messenger, and every time I answer it, I lose my authentication on the app, and I have to like exit the app and get back in to AMC. It was driving me crazy. So it's not a perfect app, but the great thing about it is you can watch the episodes commercial free and days in advance. And in the case of the season premiere, it's available, a whole week ahead. So I thought they that did was that great
last year.
Was it a whole week though?
Yeah, it was a week before.
I thought it was just a couple of days.
No, I remember it being a week, and then they switched it to like 2 days before with the mid season, I believe.
Well, one thing to bring up, New York Comic Con is this Saturday. That's, of course, the day before the premiere. There will be a big panel at Madison Square Garden. And the scuttlebutt, the things that we're hearing, I think Robert Kirkman may have mentioned this, that we're going to hear about the movie at this panel. Yeah. Apparently, he has been involved with the writing of the movie with Gimple. So I think, actually, that might be good. You know, I mean, if they're spending that much time working on the thing, I think it might be good for the movie. Of course, that's actually going to be released in theaters. Mm-hmm. Universal picked it up for distribution. So, but we're also going to hear, we believe, the talk about, probably see a trailer too, of the new season, the new series, and maybe get the name of it finally, because we still don't know what the name of it is. So we will see about that. I believe those panels are, like, it's going for a whole, like, hour and a half. And I think it's, like, part of it is going to be The Walking Dead, and part of it is going to be the new show. So, so we should get a lot of information about that. So stay tuned for that. We'll certainly be covering it, and not in the next episode that you get on this feed, which is one we already recorded, but episode 100 that we'll record next week for the season premiere, and your reactions. We'll talk about it then. So, but the other episode's already in the can. So you'll hear about our reactions to the season premiere then. All right. So that's it. Kyle, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. Well, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, and that's at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. We also have our new feedback form, and that's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. And again, if you record like your own voicemail, like using whatever audio, you can just submit the files as well as your feedback through there. Or you can call 216-232-6146 and give us a voicemail right there. All right. The deadline for next episode is set for a regular day and time, which is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, October 8th for season 10. You can find our network's Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. We post everything that we do on the network there. You can send feedback, you can comment, you share it.
You can write reviews for us there too.
Awesome. So check that out.
And we want to highlight again our new Patreon. And we haven't really done anything with it yet, but come October, well, we're now in October, Mark and I certainly will be doing some content for Patreon subscribers there. So that's at patreon.com/WalkingDeadTalkthrough. And again, you can start with any contribution, but the channels or whatever, the tier is at $5. At $5, you'll get access to any content that we provide. But if you can't afford that, you want to throw us a buck or two, you can do that too. We'll appreciate that. And, you know, that goes to running the site and paying for the domains and the hosting and all of that. So it's much encouraged. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a whole long list that we can't even go through. So that'd be great. And remember that the best way to support us and to get us more listeners is by word of mouth. So if you like what we do, tell a friend, share our posts on Facebook and Twitter, and that will help get the word out. And, you know, there are podcasts of The Walking Dead that aren't coming back for season 10. So, you know, let's for those people that aren't, you know, that are listening to them, gotta help them find us. So any help that you can do to get us more listeners, we would really appreciate that. We continue to work on the website. There's been a little glitch with some of the, depending on what browser you're in, we don't see the player show up on the individual episodes. It's a glitch in the theme that I've been working with the authors of the theme to try to correct. And hopefully we'll get that fixed up in the next little bit. But you can, if you just go to the main page, if you, you know, listen to us that way by going to talkthroughmedia.com, you're probably already found it. So I'm talking to the choir, but yeah, we're gonna continue to keep working on the website. And also Star Trek Discovery podcast, kind of definitely in a hiatus, but we will be coming back with, again, content from New York Comic Con, because there should be a trailer and some news from that. So Ruthie and I are planning to record an episode Saturday night, and we will release them on both Star Trek Discovery podcast feed and the new Star Trek Picard cast feed. So we've been trying to get an episode together, and our lives have kind of gotten in the way the last few weeks, but we will be recording Saturday night. So we should have something together for you listeners in the next week or two. Mark, what about your Panels to Pixels?
Well, you can listen to me and Steve Brown on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Network. We're coming up on our last episode for Preacher season four. And, yeah, that's the final. So me and Steve, have yet to record it. We do our recordings on Thursday. So if you guys want to send any feedback, and if you've been following Preacher, that this is the last Preacher episode, and we had a great time watching it. Me and Steve were already messaged each other regarding it. So, and after that, we're going to be, doing a couple of movie reviews, and then we'll be launching into Watchmen. That will be on HBO, and that will be a weekly show as well. So,
cool. Isn't that a DC?
Yes.
Aren't you a Marvel guy?
Yeah, I generally like Marvel. But
oh, but Preacher is DC. That's right.
No, Preacher is I can't remember if it was Image or another brand.
I thought it was DC.
I don't remember.
Anyway, our next episode is actually going to be one that you can't contribute to because we already recorded it. So it's going to be the instant reaction to the season premiere, season 10, episode 1 of The Walking Dead, titled Lines We Cross, written by Angela Kang and directed by Greg Nicotero. And the description is, the group in Oceanside continues to train in case the Whisperers return. Tensions are high as the heroes struggle to hold on to their concept of civilization. So episode 99, as we said, has already been recorded, so you'll get that Sunday night. Episode 100 will be the one that, if you want to contribute, your contributions will be on that episode. So until next time, in a few days, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
And good night, Aaron. Might be a while since you hear us.